KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local present the on-air chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Zellner and Aaron Harter.
Well, Aaron Harter is not in. I'm Ron Thomas, filling in for our city commissioner, who has study session duties this morning. So happy to be sitting in with Steve Souter this morning on the on-air chat, brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call Craig at 208-6777 for a free consultation. And by our friends at Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 342-5001. Good morning, Steve.
Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I know. How many times do you get asked that in a normal morning? How are you?
And hopefully I can say I'm fine.
Yeah. We appreciate you being here, filling in for, we could spend some time talking about Aaron and the city commission. We'll do that sometime, but we've got a
special guest.
Yeah, distinguished guest. A good friend for a long time, Ken Hush, who's the interim president at Emporia State. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Steve. Ron, appreciate it for having us on today. Thank
you. Good to have you here.
Well, we're just hope we can live up to your reputation.
You guys are above mine.
on the chat, one of our traditions is doing a little bit of bio with our guests. And everybody knows an awful lot about you, but we were talking earlier. One thing that a lot of people don't know about you is that you have a couple of daughters. And tell us about your daughters.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about them. I'm a very proud father of two daughters. They're both early 30s, and they were back-to-back, 1 year apart in school, and very close. My oldest, Rachel, blessed me a handful of weeks ago with a second granddaughter.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. And they both live in Michigan currently, and they couldn't do without each other, so they wanted to be closer. But they grew up in several places, went to several schools around the world, and so they're open-minded. Moving was fairly easy for them in relocation. So, they went off to college up north at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and on a student-athlete scholarship.
And now Rachel's married, and what's the second one? What's her name?
Jillian. Jillian is my youngest, and she's not married. So,
and they're living in Michigan in the same town, a block apart. Huh?
One block apart. How is that?
And they were tennis players pretty much in your tradition.
They were. They competed early on, and I had the opportunity as a dad to travel with them on the days that I could, playing the national circuit, and they went to a Division I program and competed in one of the toughest conferences in the nation. So,
when you guys lived in France, mm-hmm. how old were they?
They were young. I think Jillian was 2 and Rachel was knocking on 4.
So they weren't playing tennis yet?
We stuck a racket in their hand, because I typically had Sundays that I was not working, and so I'd take them out early Sunday morning and did that. So,
all right. Well, you took the job as interim president of Emporia State University after having a illustrious business career. Worked for a couple different organizations and did well. Retired young, mm-hmm. So to speak. So you bring all that background to being a university president. How has that worked out? How are you getting along with the academics?
Listen, I would say very well. In today's society, there's always difference of opinions, but I'm fortunate. I think our leadership from the academia side is fantastic. They're open-minded. Across campus, I think, we're in an environment of change for higher education, and it's been that way for, not just the last year or two, but the last handful of years is really when the trends for higher ed students started to decline, and then that was accentuated by COVID, maybe a little faster. But stepping back, and what does that mean? Steve, you mentioned the business side of what I did. I mean, the whole taking a look at what are the trends happening in whatever industry, higher ed or business or whatnot, analyzing them, and then putting a team together. You know, two heads are better than one, so are three. And just getting consensus and then identifying potential action and then actually going through and executing. And all that process and its continuance, ongoing. So it's work in progress, and it's been a great application. I think it's a complementary, you know, trait from maybe what I bring to the table and the leadership team and what the higher ed brings to the table. And I think, boy, the Board of Regents realized the position they are in with Kansas higher education, you know, and so do, I think, the legislators. And so I think, I mean, I'm not an expert, but if there's ever a time where all three and four and various groups are working together and needed to work together in a quicker manner for quicker change and taking a look at financially what this all means across the board and individually, I think it's that time.
So elaborate on that. What are the challenges look like? What have you found?
You know, I think it's a good question. I think a couple are, you know, there's a lot of, first of all, I would say with Emporia State University, we were siloed. We had buckets of various decision makers. And, you know, in the first probably 6 weeks after interviewing lots and lots of people and just asking lots of questions from my side, we removed those. And we made one big leadership team, okay? And the people, the leaders that probably see the students the best, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the faculty in the classroom and the deans, from a student leadership standpoint, we added those. So, and we added some others. So from one end of the campus to the other, you know, I think that's facilitated quicker decisions, better discussions, and by the way, we're all not agreeing, and so, you know, again, we're adapting as we go, but I think it's a good exchange. During that same process, I think one of the things we realized is once we started to actually make change, and I refer to it as like turning a huge aircraft carrier, okay, around, and it's not just specific to Emporia State. It's every university talks like this, particularly in the state of Kansas, and because I speak with them all, and we all hear them live stream from time to time. But there's bureaucracy, there's policy and procedures and processes that I think we've got to take a look at removing or streamlining.
How many silos are you talking about?
We probably had 4 to 5 key ones that we removed completely. And
put them in one group?
One group, one table, one room, Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Okay? And it's efficient, you know, and like I said, it's we from time to time I ask lots of questions for facilitation purposes and have some homework assignments from time to time, all of us, and people are coming in with great ideas. The other thing we've asked for not only students but everyone across campus, we're having campus-wide coffees and afternoon teas where anyone can come. And Q&A. I'm not big into speaking. I'm big into, okay, here's a couple preface comments. What questions do we have? What ideas? Throw them forward. And you know, we've had phenomenal exchange. Now, the downside to that is if I'm asking everybody and anybody, including community, right? I've asked you guys, if you see and can help us or critique us, please do. The downside to that, I didn't realize I was going to get, you know, 500 messages a day in various forms, whether it's my email at work
you
or my
for it,
personal. Yeah, I did, and my cell phone. So it's exciting stuff. I like it that everybody's engaged. I like it and embrace change and critique, and that's what we ought to do so that we all get better.
Was it a concern of yours when you were asked to take the position, how you would be received? Because not very often does a business leader lead an institute of higher education with no academic leadership, you know, experience. I mean, was that a concern? I know that you go in as the interim president and you're their boss, but you would be able to tell, I think, you know, behind the scenes if they were respecting you as far as president of, you know, a college.
Right. And, you know, great question. I would say that's one of the reasons. Yes, to your question, it was intimidating. You know, I grew up with the image that higher education and was the ultimate. And then master's degrees and the further graduate degrees and specialists. I was not that. Okay, and I did not come from, like you said, the academia piece and from the business side. And you know, we analyze things differently. But I thought it could be a really good compliment, and frankly, the Board of Regents did as well. And I think, feel free to reach out, but I think our legislators, we had to give testimonies, the usual process, right, in February to various groups in Topeka to justify our budgets, each one of the universities. And no, our presentation was very different. It was a handful of pages, and it was talking points, and it was to the point, but it also stressed, hey, we think there's growth out front, my hands in front of me, out front. But at the same time, we're taking a step back. And our core platform and who we are, what we are, and how we do it, we're taking a look at that. And that's finance, that's everything. It was so and by the way, I'm fortunate. Part of the reason we set up the whole leadership team, and now there's 28, it was hopefully to help bridge, you know, the image of me and with a lot of 28, 27 others across campus with the rest of academia and the other groups. And so
I would assume giving them the opportunity to take even more ownership than they were in the past has helped.
We delegated a lot of down, and we're going to be doing that more. And we asked, for example, you know, the deans, you know, to come up with ideas for their own schools and delegated authorities down, and by doing so, we're again putting a lot of heads together and comparing notes. As a reminder, you know, and by the way, when I took this job November 17, I didn't realize I had to be part of the graduation. Okay, and shame on me, right? That's a simple thought, but I couldn't remember, frankly, that far back. So. And I woke up one Sunday morning, and I thought, you know what? That's coming up in a couple weeks, the December one. Maybe I should check to see what I have to do. And sure enough, I had to do some things, and it was – I have goosebumps talking about it now. I mean, to represent the whole university, our alums, community it's one of the coolest things I've ever experienced, okay? But at that time – and out of my respect, and I told representatives of the entire university, I chose to wear a plain business suit and not a robe, okay? It was because I respected the higher degrees. I did not have one, and I wanted to just reinforce that respect. And I think hopefully people have taken that very well.
You got a good reaction to that, I'll bet.
I thought it was good. I had a lot of emails and some people come up, and frankly, they didn't expect it. And so, but that's what Kansas and Emporia Humility.
So your talking points at the legislature when you testified there, what are like 1, 2, and 3? Do you remember?
Yeah, we do. Well, the cool thing is and again, at that time, January, February, we were just starting to roll back, right, and come back from COVID. Okay, so people were starting to get out into the higher ed system, right, because that was probably one of the last areas that people were involved with. And frankly, Steve and Ron, what we said was we stood back and said, listen, we've had these, yeah, we have financial implications from the higher ed in general, from COVID accentuated. So we're looking at that. It was truly a step back. Say, we're looking at everything, how the financial side, we have renewed engagement for enrollment pursuit and applying marketing. The piece that we identified that we could do better and improve was retention. once we get them on campus, between the freshman and sophomore year, we lose 25% of students. We say, if we can just keep 1% of that and keep it, so we've engaged. We have more activities on campus for the current students. The other thing that we touched on, policies and barriers that have to be addressed that are a little archaic, not just for us, but frankly for KBOR. Had a discussion on that yesterday afternoon with on the conference call with them. And so they're taking that well. But the other thing we stress was, hey, Emporia State, we should be very proud. And we call it our strike zone. What do we do well? Okay, here, we do a lot of things well, first of all. But our numbers in our strike zone were, you know, our teachers, right? That's how the university started. They are, you know, IT and the sciences, right? Computer science. They are, you know, nursing and the medical field. And, you know, and our library science. And, you know, that's the core. And if you look at, you know, who carried a lot of the weight during COVID when it all hit the fan, it's that. You know, that's who we educate, and that's who we graduate. And as a state, putting ourselves in the states and as a taxpayer, as we all are, said, guys, we're important. We produce the nuts and bolts. And by the way, none of these things are going away, most likely. In fact, it's going to be accentuated. Earlier, we were discussing on teacher burnout, nursing burnout, nursing is such a huge initiative for us, and that and the bottom line and what we told them in summary, last point of your question, Steve, is Emporia State, taking a step back, we are going to invest in the areas where it makes sense and there's growth opportunities, and we have to sustain some of those areas. And bottom line is, on the other side of that, the things that may not make sense anymore, we may have to make some tough decisions. And that's something they haven't heard.
Okay, hold that thought. We need to take a break. We're going to do that right now. We come back, though, let's talk about students, how many you have and how many we need, what we're doing about that. And staff, I think, is also an area of competitiveness. So Ken Hush, interim president, sir.
Interim.
of Emporia State University is our guest. Bruce Davis Construction and CB Financial make it all possible. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and we are local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Welcome disc golfers to Emporia for the Dynamic Discs Open from KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live, chasing the chains, and local.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and time now for headlines being brought to you by Dr. Amanda Ruxton and Dr. Kimberly Schmid with Flint Hills Family Medicine at 1301 West 12th Avenue. Caring for the health of your whole family at every stage of life. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. An Emporia woman was hurt in a crash on the Kansas Turnpike in western Osage County last night and did come back to Newman Regional Health for observation and treatment. Jayla Gilliam was southbound, lost control of her car about 30 miles northeast of Emporia, and again suffered apparently minor injuries. The Kansas House not in favor with Governor Laura Kelly's plan to end the state's 6.5% food sales tax in one shot. The Senate discussing its version of a so-called 0% food sales tax bill here today. Also, the Kansas Senate voted to override four vetoes from Kansas Governor Laura Kelly yesterday. And this is a very busy weekend for activities here in Emporia. Area-wide, it's busy, too, because of National Drug Take-Back Day on the schedule. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunny today, blustery with a high of 77. Good chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight. Night with a low of 57 degrees. Tomorrow, decent chance of showers and storms through the day, 73, and a possibility of more thunderstorms Friday with a high of 80. That's headlines from the 24-hour KVOE Newsroom. I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently, gusty south breeze, sunny skies, 67 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the weather information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by Dr. Amanda Ruxton and Dr. Kimberly Schmid with Flint Hills Family Medicine at 1301 West 12th Avenue. Caring for the health of your whole family at every stage of life. Call Dr. Ruxton or Dr. Schmid at 620-343-2500.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. President Ken Hush from Emporia State University is our guest. Ron Thomas is in here with me. I'm Steve Souter. And let's talk about students, President Hush. Let's talk about where your numbers are and what you're trying to do to maybe make those go up.
Great question. The obviously COVID, and actually pre-COVID, I mentioned it earlier, trends were starting to go down for higher education. Again, it's across the board. We're not, Emporia State's no different than all six region schools directionally. But our students today, we're just slightly below 6,000. Okay, that's a combination of on campus with about half and the other half off campus or online and combination of that. Coincidentally, or comparatively, 40 years ago when I was here, it was about the similar 6,000 students, but as we all know, it was mostly on campus at that time. So that there's a lot of change in students wanting to look differently and study differently and go to college differently. So, but I was just, you know, we touched on it. Of that, a positive note is for the fall enrollment, we currently have the highest number of applications for enrollment than we've had in a handful of years. Okay? So, you know, throughout, you know, we've empowered leaders, okay, our new leadership for enrollment and student affairs and marketing, okay? And this is maybe where a little bit of the business side comes in. You use your marketing and it costs you some money, but you pursue what's nuts and bolts for tuition and fees and the revenue perspective. I know people necessarily don't like to look at it that way, but that's what it is. And with the state funds, you know, up till this year being reduced, you have to look at in that manner. I mean, important state. So I think it's exciting stuff. We're going to reengage and hopefully we'll have an upward trend on enrollment for the fall, which would be a turnaround of where we're at and some stabilization, which is badly needed. So,
I can tell by your inflection, hopeful isn't part of this process. It's going to happen, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of organizations and industries out there that always look on the optimistic side. You know, I'm kind of the school, we looked at it on what we call an expected case basis. You know, what's reality in today's world? And basically, we're planning on the same number of students for next fall as what we had this year. And so the upside will be if we capture, you know, and entice and you know, get those new students in, which I think with our team, dynamic team, they're all over it. I mean, they're working 6-7 days a week, okay, and for various events on weekends and it's across the board. Everybody's pitching in different ways. And, you know, everybody had a day job. It's not like they had excess time on their hands. Yeah. But, you know, when you want to step back and start to analyze things, you know, and as a group, and then discuss changes and then actually initiate changes and execute on them, that's added time. And starting from the president's job to key leaders to all the way across the campus, and you know, all of our people are just knocking it out of the park from a re-energized standpoint. I call it that. And dedication. They know what's on the line. By the way, we've been transparent with these figures on enrollment. We've had across campus coffees and teas, like I mentioned, that we're communicating to everybody who wants to attend why we're discussing these things, why we're evaluating and these things.
What about staff? Are some hard decisions there? Have you found areas that needed to be adjusted?
Yeah. Well, you know, on total employee perspective, I mean, yes, we have. I mean, we had a couple. We've had examples of professors leaving and taking high school jobs because they're paying more. I don't know. You heard about that much in? I've never seen it.
I know.
Okay, the private sector, because the private sector, other industries react quicker. Okay, and they invest in the areas. You know, we're losing people to the private sector, right? You've got a lot of dynamics, first-time occurrences nowadays that are different that you've never had to do before. So, again, part of that whole process of stepping back, so we're doing a couple things. We've got our high performers, you know, across campus. We've got to do the best to understand, and, you know, they have not been compensated. You know, over the years, like others outside in the industry. And so there's that compression. There's that catch-up that we've had discussions. We have a whole process to identify this. Yeah, so we've got to do a job of protecting those. At the same time, with the downward trends and areas that students are not, you know, really identifying with and they're showing it by not enrolling in them, those probably some tough decisions. We're having those discussions now and don't know what those decisions look like, but that's the reality going forward. So there's a couple different directions going on.
Do you have the funds to be competitive for professors? Where are you on that?
You know, we're going to make the funds. Okay, because our back's against the wall, and we have to make the moves across the board, and it's for staff and faculty all over. And again, we've got, give or take, 1,000 employees, and we are discussing everyone individually. That takes time. We're in week 9.
That's a big task right there.
Oh, and we've got a handful of people with the direct supervisors, HR, myself, and challenging all gamuts, what if this, what if that. And the deans now have come forward in a large way. And, you know, my hat's off to the deans and provost and all the faculty side for what they do.
So, provost, you got interim there too, right? You got a good guy, though, on Gary Wyatt.
We do. We do. We've got we have a few searches going on, don't we?
Yeah.
You know,
questions still to come. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we have you're right. The provost you mentioned, Joanne Brewer, the dean of the Teachers College, is leading that for us, and she's a progressive outlook person, and they're kicking that off with a strong search team. Don't know what that looks like, but that's just now getting rolling. So we'll have an application process that will go through there, probably through until midsummer, or early summer, I should say. And then the presidential one, as you guys know. And then, you know, with Kent Weiser and his retirement, and thanks for everything he did all these years, an athletic director search is going on. Now, I've been asked, hey, people or potential new students coming in or recruits are saying, oh boy, with all these changes, is that a good thing? Yep, you can look at it that way. I look at it, the glass is half full. Really? There's an opportunity here. And the whole, if anyone doesn't think change has been happening the last 5 years, particularly the last two with COVID, I don't know. My head's not in the sand. But if there's an opportunity to really make some impactful hires with vision and energy and creativity going forward, we're going to need it anyways, particularly the regional universities, ourselves, Fort Hays, and Pittsburgh State. And we're all going to be needing to be creative. So,
well, we were interviewing Greg Kossover a couple of weeks ago, who's leading the search team on campus for Emporia State. And if one were looking from afar, President Hush, and you're seeing the turnover in the presidential seats at Emporia State happening, I guess, the last two presidents, fairly frequently, I guess I could say, one would think that this might not be that attractive of a position. When, in fact, if you look at it, the past two presidents have been very good and have been picked out of here by people that wanted their expertise. So I guess I would assume that people would look at this as a very attractive position, you think?
I would definitely think so. I'll tell you, if it was me, you know. I mean, look, the fantastic thing is you mentioned Greg Kossover. How fortunate are we to have someone with his capabilities and an alum, okay, and a creative, progressive outlook and forward to be leading it. For a new person coming in here in a presidential role, you know, it's tough, and I see it and I hear it through the other university presidents when we get together and we talk about it. Change is not easy, and change has not come about very often. But, you know, change is not a four-letter word. It's discomfort. Yep. Okay. Change is a lot of changes creates or incites opinions and reactions, emotions about fear. Absolutely. Yeah. But if you get everybody in a team type of consensus like we have, the 28-person team we have, you share it all together. But I would think an open-minded person that really wanted to make its mark would want to take a look at this job and compliment the 28-person team and the Board of Regents for being behind us and the state, regardless of what side of the fence you're standing on there. What an opportunity. Change is already starting, and the momentum is starting. So that's something, the initial movement right out of the gate is not easy to create. That's already happening. So he or she can, or them can, ride on that emotion and take that forward.
So what about if they wanted you to stay on for a while?
Jeez, you do that. Kind of direct questions to the point, right, guys? If they wanted to, you know, again, they hired a new president down at Pittsburgh State. And again, going back to my earlier comment about permanent presidents, they're all doctors and all academic accolades and everything. I'm not. So out of respect for that, if they wanted me to stay on in an interim type of role for a bit longer, I would be open to that. Okay? And so I think the process it's mid-May is when Greg Kossover probably mentioned it, when the closing is, and then that's when the interviews start happening. But
yeah, he was saying midsummer he hoped to have some pretty solid movement.
Because is it fairly important to get these openings filled in a proper order? I mean, it would almost make sense to hire a president before you hire a provost and before you hire an athletic director.
Yes. I mean, there's two sides of that fence, right? But that's society today, right? It's kind of split on left and right and yes and no. But, yeah, I think a key one is the presidency, okay, to roll that. And you're absolutely right, Steve. I agree. You know, senior executives like to appoint a provost in this example and be part of that decision-making process, or at least at the end of it, okay? And so, and hopefully from a timing aspect, you know, if presidential, like you mentioned, Ron, is kind of midsummer, that's kind of talking about the provost. Hopefully those line up so they can engage. The athletic director, yep, that's probably there too. At the same time, you know, the athletic director, I mean, I think our athletic department, we're re-engaging. I mean, from what all Kent Weiser did, and we're adding hopefully onto that in the next few months in various ways and showing that we're investing in that. And so in a perfect world, yes. You know, you mentioned the interim, maybe continuing on for a bit. You know, our Gary Wyatt, our interim provost, and we've got a handful of others could help us in various ways on that whole faculty and the provost side. You know, we've got continuation in the AD. So you could argue probably if you're making a bunch of changes, hey, hang with the interims for a little bit longer and see what happens. So,
okay, we're going to switch gears. We're going to get a break in, come back. Big news, nursing school going to move up the street. Let's talk about that when we come back. We have a phone call. I guess we can do that before we go to break. Let's take a call here on the Sutherland studio line. Good morning. You're on the on-air chat.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, this is Mike Mercer. I just wanted to thank the president for everything he's done for the employees lately at the university, and we really appreciate everything he's done.
Well, hey, Mike, appreciate the call. You know, like we continue to tell you, you guys are you set the bar for us. So it's great to be in tag teaming that with you. So thanks.
Yeah.
Well deserved. Appreciate it.
Bye. Can't get enough of those. Yeah, thanks for the call.
Testimonial there.
There you go. Let's take a break. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
The Monday Morning Quarterback, sports of all sorts. Mondays at 10:05 a.m. on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for sports headlines being brought to you today by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you, go where you want. Now for the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need. Here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning. The Kansas City Royals shut out the Chicago White Sox 6-0 last night. Daniel Lynch goes six innings, gave up two hits, struck out seven. Taylor Clark pitched a scoreless seventh, and Brady Singer pitched two scoreless innings. The Royals scored two runs in the fourth and then four runs in the sixth, with Carlos Santana having the big hit, driving in two runs with a single. Royals and White Sox again this afternoon. Zach Greinke on the mound for the Royals. First pitch set for 1:10. You can hear the game here on KVOE. Five home runs not enough for the Emporia State baseball team yesterday. They were outscored by Oklahoma Baptist 10-5 as Oklahoma Baptist scored six runs in the top of the ninth inning. Hornets will be back in action on Friday when they open up a three-game series at Central Oklahoma to close out the regular season. Emporia High's baseball team swept by Topeka Seaman in a doubleheader yesterday, lost both games 15-0 in three innings. Spartans will host Washburn Rural on Friday. Emporia High softball team swept by Topeka Seaman as well. Seaman won the first game 4-2, won the second game 8-6. Emporia High's Lady Spartans play at Washburn Rural on Friday. Emporia High girls soccer team shut out Topeka West 4-0. Emil Bennett scored three goals with a hat trick. Avery Greenwood scored the other goal for the Lady Spartans. They'll play at Highland Park on Thursday. And Emporia High tennis player Brendan Keenholz finished in third place at the Emporia Invitational yesterday. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Rake, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines brought to you today by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat, Steve and Ron Thomas. Holding down the fort. Ron, you had a question about international students.
Yeah, we obviously noticed them on campus. They've been a big part of Emporia State and this community for a number of years. And certainly COVID put a halt to traveling and made it difficult for international students to participate, and I'm sure recruits to get over here. Is that something that, you know, Emporia State President Hush actively in the recruiting mode still for international students? And how are your numbers right now?
Absolutely. We're in that mode. It's part of the enrollment strategy as well as one of the areas that we're pursuing. And, you know, we have around 100 international students or more. You know, I was mentioning that they're engaged. You know, I run into them all the time, and they're very respectful of various leaders and things. So when speaking with them, and it's exciting to see. They're loyal. I mean, they're coming back. They've heard of what we're trying to do, right? Increase enrollment, increase retention, et cetera. And I had a few of them step up to me last week. They're parts from Africa. And they said, hey, just so you know President Hush, and they call me Ken, by the way, now. So I've asked them too. So that's great. But they're saying, hey, I just spoke with my cousin back in this country and told him about Emporia State and to come here, and I think we're going to get him. And another one says, hey, I've spoke with a couple of my friends that are in high school. And so it's exciting to see, whether it's international students or others, engagement to help us with initiatives. And that's where the whole transparency.
So that's open again. I know School of Business is recruited like crazy in Bangladesh, and they're optimistic their numbers are going to go up. So
absolutely.
Strike zone, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I, as you guys know, my background, I kind of have I enjoy international students with my international background. So
talk to us about the School of Nursing move.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? How long has that been on the table?
Well, you know, it's one of our exciting things we're enjoying talking about. And, you know, Newman Hospital, everyone knows about the announcement that just came out, and our nursing school was on their property and campus there, and we had some empty space and a dorm that was not being utilized on campus. So, you know, there's a window within 24, 25 months that we need to move off of the Newman campus. And they've been great partners, Newman Hospital. And again, it doesn't surprise me. My mom was a nurse there for forever. Okay, so I have fond memories of the Newman system. But so, no, we're going to bring, you know, all those students back. We see on campus, that'll be add to the vibrancy of the campus. You know, it'll optimize assets and facilities that we have. In fact, the renovation project that we're pursuing funding on, in various ways, it'll have a cybersecurity center a little bit on the one floor. We're going to build in some space, incremental space, that we can add nursing program or two and some students. And again, like we chatted earlier, that's our strike zone. That's what the state of Kansas needs. Right, there's a huge shortage of nurses. So
will this allow you to increase nursing enrollment then? Will you be able to take more students?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're gonna lean forward and invest in that area, planning that we can grow it. You know, our deans have made some proposals with some economics on what that looks like and what that means, and it's an opportunity for us.
Sounds like this will really have to be fast track, though, because in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of time.
No, it's not. And we all know how they're getting forward or getting a construction company to commit that far forward. I mean, I don't know, they're 12, 15 months out just before they start, you know, and some of those. So it'll be tight. You know, boy, we've got some super people that are leading our facilities on campus that are all over it. This is the other thing. I mentioned how we're looking at all the processes and policies and, you know, systems we have to go through for projects, particularly state projects as part of the university system, to get approval. We've talked to KBOR, the whole Topeka process. We told them, we're moving in this direction. Please, please help us, okay? Because otherwise it hung up there for 9 to 12 months because That's the way it is. And so, but in these changing dynamic times, time has to be narrowed a lot more. And boy, they're all over it. They're clearing the path. And but it's an example of how a university, students, community, cable, or the state can all work together and accomplish.
And as quickly, tomorrow on the ESU Buzz at 8:20, we will have representatives of Newman Regional Health and Emporia State to go more in depth on this topic and project.
Well, again, thanks again to Newman Hospital and the whole system for working with us. I'd just like to we've been gifted recently over the last few weeks with some exciting news, and it's been worked on for, you know, a year or so. Just want to give sincere thanks to the city and the county and our foundation representatives. As a reminder, the three parties have been working for well over a year to trying to increase financial commitments to the university and needs. And we took a little – I mean, they've had some change faces themselves, right? And but what's exciting is – and, hey, being a local Emporia guy, okay – they've stepped forward in a big way. So thanks to the commissioners and all the city representatives and the county. But we backed off from just a scholarship blanket. That's not today's student needs. It's students are asking for other things. And our demographics are unique to Emporia. And so the city stepped up. I mean, students today want esports, gaming. And by the way, we have a club team. We've had one, and we're going to make it a team sport, a competitive sport. Okay, so we're upgrading there. The city has helped us with that. Okay, you know, another couple things. Disc golf. We the city committed some seed money to start up that activity. We're investing in transfer students from the community colleges and the high schools to help us. Right, to help out with housing, and so it's very financial driven, and the county has always been there too, and so just thanks to everyone listening, you know, and we'll put it in writing, and it has been, but thanks to the whole community for stepping up and helping us move and re-engineer into those areas.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Jones Foundation too, or the Jones Fund. Up their game a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
It's you know, they've been such a strong partner, right, over all the years, and what they've done and the leadership with all the Jones funding is, you know, it's hats off. And this is where the whole creativity comes in, and they've sponsored scholarships on a flat year basis, same amount for years, and you have to qualify. But now they've taken a step back, and through their, you know, reimagining is now they're giving increased amounts for second year, another increased amount on top of that for the third year and for the fourth year. But it's incentivizing and helping us as a university retain. Remember, there's two parts of the enrollment strategy, and it's fantastic. So thanks to all those groups.
I think they expanded their county outreach, too, a little bit, did they not? I think they did, as far as scholarships.
Coffee, Osage, and Lyon. Is it more than that?
I think there might be a couple more on top of that now. So.
Well, we'll figure that out as we go along. Big disc golf event going on this weekend. I see, well, disc golf in Emporia started with a college kid, with an Emporia State student.
How cool is that, Steve and Ron, right? What a great story. And with Jeremy. And, yes, so, I mean, you know, it's interesting. We've seen trends. We've had feedback. We've had students tell us ourselves. You know, we've had students visiting, high school students from Minnesota coming down to look at our esports, our gaming. Okay. And we have 150 students involved in that, just as a club team. Okay. There's a huge upside to that. And, by the way, and students today are going to certain universities who have these, okay? The same way with disc golf, okay? My nephew goes to school on the East Coast, and their university is just starting up a club, disc golf club. And so, you know, that's what we're going to try to do. And And how fortunate are we to have Dynamic Disc here in the city, right? And so we look forward to furthering those partnerships as well.
So what have we missed, President Hush?
Boy, I could go on and on. I mean, hopefully you can. We're trying to be. We're transparent, the best we can be, and then we can always do better. We're working on educating and re-educating and spreading what higher education in this newer type, different environment looks like. So, and as represented that we just talked about, Jones Fund and the city and county have stepped up as partners. You know, it's exciting. I'd just like to say, just out there, I mean, we talk about certain areas. We talk about certain groups and employees and communities. You know, our alums through, you know, campaigns and everything that's been done, you know, from that historical standpoint and then the legacies and the traditions. And this will just be added on, you know, all these efforts onto that. But it's just to step back and just like to just thank everyone that is any way associated with it and just say thanks for what you're doing and appreciate all the cooperation on a go-forward basis.
Before I let you go, I'd just like you to touch on, we mentioned this before we went on the air, but your Profit Aquatic and Research Center that is new, but I have to tell you, it has been so impressive, the work that has been done there, not only for the students and the research that's being done, but Daphne Mays out there has just been incredible in what, and under the direction of Dr. Thomas. But the outreach has just been incredible. I mean, we've heard from students and classes from all over the area that are up there on a constant basis, and now it's going to be open to fishing to the public as well. Your thoughts on the direction that is heading out there?
I'm laughing because I'm excited about it. Okay. And how cool is that for us to have that locally? Right, and to be originated by a bunch of people in that science arena. And it's so exciting. You know, we talk about, you know, us pursuing and increasing enrollment because it makes sense not just for the university, it makes sense for the city and the county and our businesses, right? It's a whole economic development benefit. We're all in it. But to see buses, high school buses, you know, roll through on campuses again, okay, for the Aquatic Center, for various events, you know, we had
the tennis center.
The first 2 months, everybody, there were away matches booked in to come to Emporia because of guaranteed play instead of being called by bad weather. And so, again, you're right, Steve, it helps out the whole area. And there's some exciting things. Boy, we have our sleeves rolled up, and we're going to do more.
Yeah, what a recruiting tool. You mentioned that is. I mean, you're getting kids up on that campus constantly. So,
right.
That's positive.
Ken, you've been talking about the strike zone. Major League Baseball won't increase theirs, but you guys are certainly doing that at Emporia State. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks for the job you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for the leadership team and Campus White.
Yeah, big thank you to President Ken Hush, Emporia State University, for joining us on the on-air chat here this morning, brought to you by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th and by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. We're going to learn more about the Emporia Boxing Club next on the Talk of Emporia. KVOE Emporia, we are live and local.
Live and local, AM 14.